We're going to have a public hearing on ordinance 3117, request harsh dollars. Establishment, $35. Hiring. Cycle. $5,000. Hire two. $12. Cycle. $40. Dollars. Trash, trash disposal. Five. Trash disposal, 100. Cycling. Cycle fund. Six. $14,000. Cycle fund purchase. Thousand, total amount. Five, there's $5,700. Also, ordinance 3317.
Explain what these are now.
Yes.
The first one is, they're just needing to transfer some money into, so they can go to investigator training, right, Chief? Right. The money's in there, it's just got to be transferred to the right line item. The next one is basically dealing with the sanitation department, and even though we've done it this way in the past, we're going to bring us up to the way it should be. Out of the sticker fund, that money needs to be appropriated to fund all these lines. So, we're just going to fund all those line items, even though you passed the budget last year for this year. We need to make sure that this money appropriated out of sticker funds, plenty of money in there for that. And then, this year's budget will be different, we'll make sure that everything's done, it needs to be done now. And then the last one, if you remember last meeting, Laura asked about getting a new van. This is the cost of the van, the cages, and then the striping and stuff they got to do. Detailing of the vehicle. And I'm also going to ask you if you would, later, if you'll pass these on, the readings, because basically moving money. The only one that's really not is van, and you've already agreed that he needs it. He's got one broke down, one that's limping along, so. Yeah.
She said she already had one that she found, or?
She couldn't find a van that these cages would go in.
Okay.
Kind of custom to the van, so. So, that's basically all it. And just so you know, under the one with the sticker funds, there is a new trash truck sitting out at R&amp;H Truck, and I think for a few weeks now. This is when appropriated properly, we can pay for it.
Any public comment or against? Public hearing's closed.
Okay, call order council meeting for August 14th. If everyone would stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks.
Dear Lord, bless this body, guide us tonight.
We have roll call.
Here.
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 Here. Adoption of the agenda. Second. Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to approve the agenda as presented.
Question.
Tom Brown?
Yes.
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 And the agenda is adopted by a vote of 7. Need approval of minutes from the July 24th meeting.
Approve minutes July 24th.
Second.
Yes.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to approve the minutes as presented.
Question.
Yes.
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 Those are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Mayor, I think we should acknowledge the loss of community leader Dr. Charles Hetty. Certainly a great leader in our community. I know he's a steward of the First Methodist Church. Was many leadership roles there. A member of the View Foundation Board. Great service to the hospital and to all his patients, so our prayers certainly go out to his family.
Since our last meeting when we all kind of committed to looking at our ordinances for review, we got a pretty decent feedback from not just, you know, people that are involved with our government, but then people out in the community too. Obviously, it's going to take a little bit of time for us to get that together. I'm in a process of writing up an email for our department heads so they can give us a little insight. They better know those policies, as Councilman Chatton said, that we needed to get them involved, things that needed to be improved on, added, or removed. So, I mean, it'll take us a little time, and obviously they've got budgets to deal with right now. So as we're kind of glancing through those and going through those, I've already got kind of a decent little list started, but we need to kind of do our due diligence and take our time on this to make sure we get it right so we don't have to, you know, continually run into these issues. But things seem to be going in the right direction.
Any other reports? Old business, ordinance 30-2017, additional appropriation ordinance from EDIT for CDC $4,000 a month dues we pay last 6 months. And then the Pantheon Roof Project, $50,000. And then transferring $100,000 from insurance. You did your first reading on the 24th.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to second reading of ordinance 30-2017.
Ordinance 30-2017, additional appropriation ordinance sections 1 and 2 from EDIT, $24,000. Case the service from EDIT, Pure Clean for Panther Theater Project, $1,074,000. Board of Works budget, insurance to PERF transfer of $100,000.
Discussion. And I want to mention again, $50,000 for the Pantheon roof is USDA grant. The city pays up front, and the city is paying. Mm-hmm. So that isn't, and then we're paying it, and we're going to get our $50,000.
Question?
Yeah.
Yes.
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 And second reading of ordinance 30-2017 passes by a vote of 7.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to have third and final reading of ordinance 30-2017.
Ordinance 30-2017, additional appropriation ordinance 1 and 2, $74,000 and $100,000.
Question.
Question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Rowe?
Yes.
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 Third and final reading of ordinance 30 passed by a vote of 7. New business, Matt Sword, SIBC, approval for the facade project.
About to turn that around after the public hearing. All right, Matt Sword, Southern Indiana Development Commission. We are applying to the Indiana Office of Community and Rural Affairs again for the downtown facade improvements project. We had the public hearing earlier this evening, and I've got a resolution. It's resolution number 5-2, 2017, resolution authorizing the application submission and local match commitment. I can go through it if you want me to.
Do we need a motion? Second. Okay, got a motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to read, approve resolution 5-2017.
Resolution number 5-2017, resolution authorizing application submission and local match commitment. Resolution of the City Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, authorizing middle of MSRP CDBG application, Indiana Office of Community and Rural Affairs and addressing related matters, getting formal parts containing one, one and two committee match.
Discussion. And this is matched by the owners of the property.
Right. The match is coming from three sources. It's a total of $138,373. $101,405 is coming from the property owners involved. They're giving a percentage of their cost. Then $24,168 will come from City of Vincennes Board of Works funds, and that's for the preliminary architecture. It's already been paid. It's already been done, but we can count it as match, so that's included in there. And then the last part of it is $12,800. That's coming from Invin Inc., and this will help with some philanthropic points. We'll get 25 points in philanthropic match. So it's a total of $138,373 coming from three sources.
We think we'll have a better chance this time?
I hope so. We've had some feedback, and I think the mayor mentioned at the public hearing none of the facade projects were funded. We think they were scrutinized pretty heavily, but we've got that feedback, and we're doing everything that we can to address some of the things that they brought up to make sure that we have a competitive application then.
When will the decision be made, Matt?
Applications due September 1st, and I believe we will find, I want to say it's October, November, somewhere in there. Usually it takes a couple months. Is it October 12th? Okay. I was thinking October 12th, but that just seemed kind of a pretty quick. Usually it's about 2 months, so.
And good. If for some reason we wouldn't receive this, it'll be included in.
Right. Any other questions or? I think, do you need a motion for the, accept the resolution?
Well, we already have the motion.
We've got the motion.
Okay. Call for the question.
Yes.
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 Yes. Resolution 5-2017 passes by a vote of 7. Next is Norbert Brown and Rita Green, Prince Vincent Charity.
My name is Norbert Brown. I also have Mrs. Rita Green with me here tonight. We're representing the Friends of Vincennes Heritage Group. I'd like to show you a short PowerPoint, if I may. Take just a moment to get it going. I think that's a little better. I'm going to have to turn around to see the presentation, but again, tonight this is primarily an informational presentation titled Vincennes Statue Project Overview Update. And again, this is being put on tonight by the Friends of Vincennes Heritage. I'm a member of several different historical groups in town as I work with some of you on those projects, but here we go. For those of you that aren't familiar with the project, our group recognized that the story of our city's founder needs to be recognized. Our plan is to erect a bronze statue of our city's founder in a prominent location near the Riverwalk. We would certainly like to tell our founder's story. We feel as though this project will help preserve history and is both educational and patriotic. We feel that the time is right to do this project. Committee members include Joy Biggs, myself, Emily Bunyan, Richard Day, Rita Green, Cheryl Hacker, and Dennis Latta. This project has been taken on under the umbrella of the Vincennes Historical Antiquarian Society. They are 501c3. It's also an officially endorsed legacy project for the state of Indiana's bicentennial. A little about our city's founder. We hear an awful lot about George Rogers Clark, certainly an interesting person, but very little is being taught today about Francois-Marie Bessot, the Sieur de Vincennes, our city's namesake. I'll tell you a little bit about him. You can learn a lot more. There are brochures floating around town, and there are also books available at the Knox County Public Library, specifically in the McGrady-Brockman building. Francois-Marie Bessot was born in Montreal, Canada in 1700, traveled to Post, Miami, near present-day Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was promoted to lieutenant in 1730, married and established a trading post here in Vincennes in 1730. He was in command at Post Vincennes in 1732, and unfortunately in 1736, on March the 25th, he was burned on a pyre by the Chickasaw Indians near modern Tupelo, Mississippi. We looked for several sculptors, and we decided on Bill Wolfe, a Terre Haute resident. He's done an awful lot for us already, but he's done some spectacular sculptures that can be seen throughout not only the state of Indiana, but throughout the United States. And this is Mr. Wolfe here on the right, well, actually in all the pictures doing this. And he's also the one accredited or that created the Larry Bird statue, if you've seen it in Terre Haute, and many other statues. It's truly he's truly a fantastic sculptor, artist. Unfortunately, there aren't any photographs of our city's founder because photography hadn't been invented, so we have to rely on things we read in books, and we have a couple small sketches. So it's open to interpretation. Our group, I'll just say it, kind of argued a little bit on what we felt he would have looked like. The upper left is what Mr. Wolfe created. You'll see he has facial hair and some other features. And we got with a lot of the historians here locally and regionally to discuss what he would have looked like. As a result, his hair has been removed, facial hair has been removed in the lower right. But this would be a life-size statue. He has created a statue in clay. We had it on display at the Knox County Public Library for a while, and here's the statue. It gives you an idea of the scale of it, but it has not been bronzed. This statue would last a very, very long time, but in order to create such a statue, it's very costly. The total cost estimate for this entire project would be $67,000. The statue alone would be $53,000. What's the other money for? That would be mounting the statue, getting it appropriately placed, and all of the associated expenses that go along with that. Fundraising efforts thus far that we have taken part in have been, again, presentations like this to various groups and the general public. We've created a GoFundMe account that's been fairly fruitful for us. We do have a fairly strong social media presence. We participate in special events. We've initiated some letter campaigns, public relations events. We've also been selling some prints and postcards, as well as we're planning some other events that hopefully we can raise some money. We are rapidly approaching the $30,000 mark is what we're getting towards now. We anticipate within the next month we'll approach the $40,000 mark. We've got a lot of baits out in the water. We're just waiting for some of those fish to come in. Unfortunately, a lot of people are fishing in the same pond. And I'm an educator, so that's why I use those analogies. But anyway, we're nearing our goal. What do others have to say about the project? It's been a while, but you said it. This project will enhance the Riverwalk and help complete the story of our Vincennes history, and that's by our mayor, Mr. Joe Yocum. George Rogers Clark, Superintendent Frank Dofman says, the staff at George Rogers Clark welcomes this project as another piece of history to be discovered by visitors in Vincennes. Local historian and state historic sites employee Richard Day, the city of Vincennes was founded by a man named Vincennes. This is the first basic fact of the history of Vincennes, but few of its citizens know it. This statue is a way of reminding them of this fact. I support this project to help preserve our history as Indiana's first city, to help increase pride within our city, to enhance our visitors' experience, to create public recognition of your organization, and we feel the time is right. Again, at this time, I just want to tell you that this was an informative or informational session. As we near our goal, there may come a time where we may have to bridge a small gap as far as placing the statue when we would turn it over to the city. I just wanted all of you to be aware, in case you weren't, of the project that we're working on. And Mr. Wolf has been very generous in the fact that he's done a large amount of work, and he has not received a penny for his work yet. And he's been to Vincennes several times to talk with us and make sure that this statue is correct. But we really want this to be placed. And with all of the other exciting things happening in and around our city, we feel as though it would be a fantastic addition to our city to help tell that story that hasn't been told very much. I've done a lot of history on various, or a lot of research on various historical subjects here in town, but to be honest with you, I'm still learning a lot about our city's founder as well, and I hope others will embrace that too. At this time, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions if I may.
You do, it's always occurred to me that at homecoming, we have a lot of people that come from great distances and have fond memories of Vincennes and going to school here. Is there any kind of, I don't know, big poster or life-size cutout or something that could be?
Yeah, we did that for the last year. We had one there with a donation and information there as well. And again, anytime we have any type of large gathering, we try to make sure that someone from our committee is representing what we're trying to do at that time. I will note that through our Facebook presence with Vincennes Indiana Remember When, as well as we have a group, Friends of Vincennes Heritage, the majority of our donations have come from people that came from or that moved away from Vincennes, but now keep track of some of that online, and we're trying to lure some of those people back. But they've been very helpful to our group effort. Great question. Any additional questions? Again, we greatly appreciate your time. We have given you some brochures, and for those that are guests tonight, there are additional brochures out in the lobby, the entrance of City Hall, as well as in the Knox County Public Library.
And you're not asking for...
We would take all the cash you'd be willing to give us at this time, but again, we're nearing our goal, and as we get closer, we may need to have the little bit of a gap bridged at the end, as you fit, but we're chugging along pretty strong, and we certainly wouldn't turn down any.
We certainly salute your efforts in addition to the historic nature of this. It also would enhance community art, which is something that has been an emphasis of a number of people. So I think it's a worthy project and encourage everyone to get behind it.
Thank you very much. And again, the finished projects, or finished products, if you haven't seen one of Mr. Wolf's finalized statues, they're fantastic. Down to the, you know, the wrinkles in his hands and things like that, they're truly fantastic and very well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, next is Justin Lowe, President of Vincennes Firefighters Merit System.
Good evening. Justin Lowe, Vincent's Firefighters President. This is Michael Catt, Vice President, Vincent's Firefighters. The Vincent's Firefighters has taken a vote by majority, and it's on file at the city clerk's. It was an official vote to agree to the initiation of the establishment of a merit system. We believe that a merit system would ensure that the manner of hiring and promoting of personnel for the department would emphasize an individual's abilities, education, experience, and job performance rather than an individual's political affiliations. Prior to tonight's meeting with the council, we met with the Board of Works, and they gave us unanimous support in moving forward with this project as well. I don't want to say we're under the gun, but if we want to do this by July 1st, time is of the essence, so we would like to meet with you as soon as it's convenient for you guys to write an ordinance and initiate this process for our merit system. Michael Catt has done a lot of research, so any questions you have or if he has something to add, I'll go ahead and let him do that now.
Have any questions? Oh. Most of the tax system under they've already had their past. We're a little bit behind. Like Justin said, all the guys are vote. Three guys from the Board of Work. Next step, getting an ordinance in place for you guys to pass that our guys would look at that. All vote. At that point, would take place
January 1st.
My assumption is there must be a model ordinance.
There's a model ordinance, that, and that's what we've came up with a couple of them.
We've done a couple more that are kind of all more specific, closer to the police department, just to kind of make things, you know, unilateral, I guess you'd say. And then we've got just more or less the zoning one that the state gives out for people. And we've actually got a copy of that.
Well, if the Board of Works has endorsed it, could we have our city attorney draw up an ordinance? And
kind of busy.
It's budget time. Where
can we review your budget? Board of Works said they show their support for them to move forward looking at the merit system.
I was just thinking of times of the essence.
I think we might want to send this to the Public Safety Committee.
And that's what, if you guys want to take a look at that, that's fine. And then if you want to meet with, have the Public Safety Committee meet with us, and we could kind of get something drawn out together with some more support from the guys at the fire department and everything. That's what you can kind of make it as specific as you want or as general as what you have in front of you there. So, but like I said, time isn't necessarily of the essence, but once it gets moving, I mean, you've got a 60-day period, and then you've got another 3 weeks after that when the guys have to vote for it, and it's January 1. So if something would hiccup or not happen, you know, and it would go after the year, we're talking about the following January 1 after that.
But I wouldn't want to rush it.
We're not rushing it, but
I wouldn't want to rush it and have something that we regret later.
I mean, we've got several weeks, but not something that we want to put off too long, because if it's not more or less this 18, we're looking almost into 2020 for it.
And we're not the first department. We're not reinventing the wheel here. There's a lot of lack of departments around the state that have moved this. It's a professional thing to do. We want to be taken professionally. We want a professional system to work with.
Right. And that's when it comes down to specifics, that's more what the actual commission itself will do. The ordinance that you're passing or that you would pass is more just what the state statutes say, kind of what you leave up to your discretion, you know, how many board members there are, how many people, who picks, and with just what's generally written down and right there, like nothing specific. And then of course, obviously you guys would get one pick on that board as it sits there and what the majority of what the communities around the state are doing. Any other questions you guys have, anything? Is there a time or anything that you guys think that, are you wanting to refer that back to the Public Safety Committee that we go ahead and set something up and maybe try and get something on the agenda for next meeting as far as ordinance-wise?
I think Mr. Westfall's the chairman of that committee, aren't you, Jim?
Yeah, but we probably need to make a motion to turn it over to the Public Safety, don't we? Yeah.
I think you just refer it to public.
Yeah, just we refer just refer it. And,
yeah.
And then you two, if you could get together, you don't have to do it right now, and check your schedules, determine a meeting time, and then go from there.
Absolutely.
Place and time. And
still out of that meeting? Can an ordinance come out of that meeting? Is that the way? Is that the way it works?
We should be able to come out with an ordinance.
I mean, can an ordinance be recommended out of the meeting? Anything? Yes.
Counselor?
Well, if you have a basic model, that's what the committee is discussing, they could make a recommendation back to city council, have city attorney review it, get an ordinance before us. It can always be amended at that point, as long as
When we get down to actual specifics, like what you do see with the city's code of ordinance, police department, everything, those are all taken care of after this point by the actual commission itself. The broad terms, I guess.
It's just a matter of reviewing it with the public safety committee, coming back to the council, their recommendation, then go from there. Okay. We should be able to move on it pretty quick.
Okay. Yep.
Do we need to make a motion?
No.
So does it been referred?
Okay. So I just need to meet with them and the public safety.
So was that referred back to the public safety committee? Mm-hmm. Correct.
And me.
Good deal. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Next is Jennifer Hardick, massage ordinance.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Hardig. I have been an Indiana state massage therapist for 6 years. I've worked with the chiropractors, I have worked in a salon, and I have worked from home. And that ordinance that was brought up a few months ago from 1979, for one, it's 3 years older than me. Licensing's changed in the state, it's now considered a healthcare profession. So I know that you are going over all the ordinances, trying to update them. Some things that came to light with ours, one, we are kind of grouped in that old ordinance, other professions, things that we're no longer really tied to. So I just want to make sure that when it is updated, that that's kind of split off and we're kind of put more with the healthcare professionals and Indiana State's definition. Another thing, too, that when it is redone, Indiana State does allow at the end of their law for the cities, for the towns to actually make it stricter, make the ordinance stricter-like. And one of the councilman I spoke to asked me, well, how did I feel about home-based massages or people doing it inside of home? I used to do that from home. There was a few times I did feel uncomfortable if I had never met anybody before and kind of that worry about, you know, what would be said or what would be done. I never had a bad issue. And there are several women here in town who are licensed who also do it for several years, several decades. I don't think that they would have an issue, but I think if you try to take it out of the home, not only for their business would it be a problem, but for those who are on hospice, those who cannot leave their home to get massage therapy as a health, for healthy reasons, they would no longer be able to get it if they could not have somebody come to their home to take care of that. So what I would like when the ordinance are updated, that it just matches state law. State law has penalties for anybody practicing without a license, for anybody who does not show their license where they work, and anybody who does not show their license number when they do marketing. All Class C misdemeanors, that's all covered. That is all that me and the other massage therapist talked about. So when the ordinance is updated, of course, we're going to try and stay proactive with everything going on. But if it matches state law, it really should cover everybody's best. That's all I had. I don't want anybody.
Thank you.
After I got your email, oftentimes refer to Bloomington as kind of a city that has some good model ordinances. Unless I couldn't find it, Bloomington doesn't have an ordinance at all. So I'm not so sure the answer to this issue is just to repeal this ordinance. Just get it off the books, and if we needed to address it later, we can do it. But clearly it's out of date and it's embarrassing.
I would disagree with taking it off the books completely, Dusty Looking Vincent's Police Department. And I speak from the perspective, and I think absolutely the ordinance is outdated. Some of the language in there, quite frankly, could be considered offensive to medical professionals that do their job that they do. We absolutely think massage therapy, that's a great thing. It greatly benefits a lot of people. But I also, from a police department side, we also see a different side that massage therapy places can be used as fronts for, and quite frankly, it's very prevalent right now throughout the area. It's very frequently in the news in surrounding areas, and I think that we also need to make sure that we have some ordinance protection in place regarding this due to some of those other situations, everything from, you know, human trafficking, quite frankly, to prostitution and some other things. That's where the Vincennes Police Department stands. Again, I too believe it's very outdated. Some of the language is offensive, I'm sure, for these professionals that do this. And I think with some tweaking and bringing that up to date, and there's a lot of ordinances around the state that could be looked at, and you know, kind of as we do when we look at different ordinances, what works in one place and maybe what does or doesn't work for us. I think that's the proper thing to do in this case, and I just wanted to let you know my take on the situation.
Is that something you could research with other departments to see what their city ordinance?
I can, and I have. Without going into too much detail, you know, this is something that has kind of been on the radar throughout law enforcement in this area for quite a while.
Chief, would it be a better idea to scrap the original one and then put another one in its place that's already state updated?
It could be, and you know, I know that Evansville, I believe, has a particular ordinance. I would be glad to help look around and provide you guys with some ordinances that we've seen throughout the state as well that are more updated and would fit, you know, multiple purposes. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on. Next is former Bell Mayor Casting and Matt Swisher, pastor with First United Methodist Church, presenting a check for the police department.
Yeah, under new business.
Mayor Yoakum and City Councilman Busy's attorney Rolligan present. Good evening, Sharon. I'm Belle Casting. I'm a member of the First United Methodist Church down at the corner of 4th and Perry. I'm very happy to present our pastor, Matt Swisher. Matt came to this community the 1st of July. He has something to say to our Vincennes City Police Department and specifically to Chief Luke.
I just want to say thank you very much for the work that you do, the great work that you do in our community to keep us safe. Also want to thank you for the outreach that you do in our community. I understand there was a police night out not too long ago, and we wanted to help support that in the future, and so we have a check for you to help that in your future endeavors for $2,500.
Thank you very much.
I have a photo for
it. On behalf of the city, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you, and we welcome you to the community, Pastor Swisher. Yes.
Next is Chris Roberts, Ordinance 2980, Landscape.
Good evening. I come before the council this evening to request that the landscape ordinance, as it was written in 1980, be revisited, updated. I have spoken with the mayor about this, and I understand Phil Cooper is one hard-working individual. I'd also like to volunteer my services to pro bono, no charge, to help him review drawings to make sure that they comply with the new ordinance, should you guys decide to take up this matter and either update this ordinance or scrap it and start from scratch.
I'm sure Phil would welcome your assistance.
Yeah.
This is an ordinance that does need to be revisited in a codification, which the city goes through every so many years of having a company review our ordinances. This actually fell out of the ordinance book. Now, I understand it's still being applied, but it's not clear, as clear as it used to be, this ordinance. And further complicating the issue is under Mayor Baldwin's administration, he sort of merged the Landscape Review Commission function with the tree board, which I'm not sure is a good match necessarily. And I, you know, going back to the early parts of this ordinance, I served on the Landscape Review Board before it was merged with the tree board, and it was always a little awkward because the way the ordinance was written originally, it required a an architect to be on the board, which probably has some merit, but it was always a little awkward because we only have so many architects in this city, so three times out of four, the architect on our board would be the same person that was representing the company seeking right. the waiver from the rule,
right.
and it always made it a little awkward on the board to deal with that. So there's just a number of issues like that that I think we can do. But the basic concept of this ordinance is valid. It is that as properties redevelop commercially over time, they are brought up to a minimal standard of landscaping for the beautification of the city. And so it's a very valid concept and meets exactly with what the feedback we're hearing from the community listening sessions that the United Way has sponsored, where one of the recurrent themes we hear from the public when they're asked what they want the city to be is a more attractive city. Well, this ordinance clear back to 1980 was addressing that issue, but it over time is the wheels have sort of fallen off. So I appreciate your bringing this, you know, further to our attention. And
well, thank you for your time and your consideration.
Are there specific areas you'd like to see addressed, or
well, it's from a construction standpoint, that's my background.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the new Mexican restaurant that's going on 6th Street. You know, when they came and they repaved the parking lot there, if we would have been on our toes, we could have said, that's great, but there's a 5-foot buffer strip that needs to be, you know, these types of shrubs, preferably native plants, and, you know, some mulched areas and things of that nature. I noticed that this ordinance, in 1980, they requested input from the city of Bloomington. I've heard that in another matter earlier this evening. I didn't have time, but I thought about the city of Fishers. When I think about a really strict landscape ordinance, those guys, and I understand there's a balance between wanting new development in our community, and it's always a fight between the cost of the project and the willingness of the developer to spend that money on things that aren't square foot dollar making parts of the project. So I think about the area on Kimmel Road by Hart Street, that, you know, we've got a nice new road through there, and with time surely there'll be some development there. And, you know, I'd like to see an ordinance with some teeth and a review process that won't allow folks to come in and put up, you know, development that doesn't address, you know, the beautification of our community. And while it's appreciated that people want to come here and open new businesses, we also would like for them to understand that citizens in this community like for them to do it in a manner that beautifies what we all look at every day.
know, developers are always in a hurry. That's one of the things I discovered when I was on the landscape review board years ago, and it always occurred to me, maybe we should have in the ordinance, if you meet all the minimal standards, the inspector can approve your plan. But if you seek a single waiver, it has to go to a board. And I think that might be an incentive to a lot of developers to submit a plan that meets the standard so that they could get on with their project. That's just one thought. The other matter, frankly, that was not in that ordinance is you could require that they put in the landscaping, but there was absolutely nothing in the ordinance that said that they would maintain it.
Right.
And we had developers that a few years down the road, they actually removed all the landscaping. And there was nothing in the ordinance that you could do. Walmart's allowed most of the landscaping trees in their parking area to die and have been removed. Well, there we go. Right. So it definitely can be improved.
All right.
And I think Phil works hard at it. He does a really good job. Just like the restaurant you mentioned on 6th Street, they tore out their parking. At least he made them leave some area for green space.
Right.
Didn't let them put their complete parking lot back in place. Had he not tore the parking lot out, I don't know that we'd ever got that done. So,
well, like I say, I'm ready to help Phil in any way that I can on a volunteer basis. I know he's got a lot going on. It's available.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, thank you.
Okay, next is Ordinance 31-2017, Transfer Request Ordinance from Arson Investigation Fund, $1,500 to Fire Inspection Manual.
Motion to approve Ordinance 31-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to have first reading of Ordinance 31-2017.
Ordinance 31-2017, Additional Appropriation Ordinance, Sections 1 and 2, Transfer Request from Arson Investigation to Fire Instruction Manuals, $1,500.
Discussion? Basically, Sonny, all this is to transfer these dollars so they can be spent for a class that a couple firefighters are going to attend.
Correct. It is transferring money from a non-reverting account that has been there for years. To our training account, which will allow two individuals now to go and take a course that will allow them to obtain the certification, the pinnacle certification as a investigator, and then I hope to, in the future, to maybe send a couple more each year to build up our investigative vision. But it's just money that has been there for a number of years that can be used for this. Appreciate your consideration.
Any discussion?
All for the question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Groh?
Yes.
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 Yes. I take this to third.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. First reading passes by a vote of 7-0.
Third reading.
Second.
Second reading, I'm sorry. On Ordinance 31-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall for second reading of Ordinance 31-2017.
Ordinance 31-2017, Additional Appropriation Ordinance, Section 1 and 2.
Discussion. Should mention that you did have a public hearing on this.
Yes.
At the beginning of this meeting.
No one spoke for or against. Nobody did.
Offer a question.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Groh.
Yes.
Ann Ravalet.
Yes.
Betty Chapman.
Yes.
Salters.
Yes.
Billy Rose.
Yes.
Yes.
Second reading passes by a vote of 7-0.
Make a motion to suspend the rules and have third reading.
Second.
Second. Or Jim did.
Did that for all three then?
We did it one other
time. So,
make a motion to suspend the rules on Ordinance 31, 32,
33, 34.
Not 34.
Just 31, 32, and 33.
Okay. Yeah. Next
second.
Three.
Have a motion on the floor by Vice President Brown or Grove, second by West, Councilman Westfall, to suspend the rules and have three readings on ordinances 31, 32, and 33 this evening.
Call for the question.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Dan Rappaport.
Yes.
Blaine Patton.
Yes.
Salter.
Yes.
Blake Rose.
Yes.
Jim Westfall.
Yes.
And it passes by a vote of 7-0. I need a motion for third reading.
Motion for third reading on ordinance 31, 2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall, to have third and final reading of ordinance 31, 2017.
Ordinance 31, 2017, additional appropriation ordinance, section 1 and 2, 1,500.
Discussion?
Question?
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Dan Rappaport.
Yes.
Blaine Patton.
Yes.
Salter.
Yes.
Blake Rose.
Yes.
Jim Westfall.
Yes.
Ordinance 31, 2017, third reading passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is ordinance 32, 2017, additional appropriation ordinance for recycling fund fuel and oil. 25,000 recycling fund tires and tubes, $4,100 recycling fund recording fees, $600 trash disposal, $100,000 recycling fund uniform rental, $14,000 recycling fund purchase of equipment expense, $122,000 for a total of $265,700. Motion
to approve ordinance 32, 2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall, to read and approve ordinance 32, 2017.
Ordinance 32, 2017, additional appropriation ordinance, section 1 and 2, total of $265,700.
Discussion. Again, all this is doing is taking the money that's in the sticker fund and appropriating it to that budget. And again, you had a public hearing.
There was a public hearing. Nobody spoke for or against.
And then we're fixing that in the upcoming budget, correct?
The next budget will be
all set up so we don't have to do this again.
We'll get it in line.
Yay.
Off the question.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
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 First reading of ordinance 32, 2017 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Motion for second reading for ordinance 32, 2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall for second reading of ordinance 32, 2017.
Ordinance 32, 2017, additional appropriation ordinance 1 and 2, $265,700.
Discussion.
Question.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Dan Rappaport.
Yes.
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 And second reading passes by a vote of 7-0. Motion for third.
Motion for third reading on ordinance 32, 2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall for third and final reading of ordinance 32, 2017.
Ordinance 32, 2017, additional appropriation ordinance, section 1, 2, $265,700.
Discussion.
Question.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Dan Rappaport.
Yes.
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 And third and final reading passes by a vote of 7-0. Next up is ordinance 33, 2017, additional appropriation ordinance from Riverboat for animal shelter purchase of vehicle, amount of $38,000.
Motion to approve ordinance 33, 2017.
Second.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Grove to have first reading of ordinance 33, 2017.
Ordinance 33, 2017, additional appropriation ordinance containing section 1 and 2 from Riverboat to animal control van purchase, $38,000.
Discussion? Again, we had a public.
We had a public hearing. Nobody spoke for or against.
Again, I'll just mention that this is the vehicle that Laura requested your last meeting. It's got one vehicle that's out of commission and the other one's just kind of limping along. So she's working to get this replaced as soon as she can.
She said
the vehicle, the cages, and the
Now, she said she had her eye on one. I mean, is that still available,
yeah,
or?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was working with the local dealership.
Okay.
Is local?
Still
is local.
Yes.
Good.
Call for question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
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 First reading of ordinance 33-2017 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Motion to approve ordinance 33-2017, second reading.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall for second reading of ordinance 33-2017.
Ordinance 33-2017, additional appropriation ordinance in sections 1 and 2 from River Boat for purchase of Animal Control Department van, $30,000.
Discussion.
Question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
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 Second reading of ordinance 33-2017 passes by a vote of 7-0. Motion for third.
Motion for third reading on ordinance 33-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall for third and final reading of ordinance 33-2017.
Ordinance 33-2017, additional appropriation ordinance 1 and 2, $38,000.
Discussion.
Question.
Bob Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Yes.
Wayne Chatton?
Yes.
Yes.
Rose?
Yes.
Yes.
Third and final reading of ordinance 33-2017 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next up is ordinance 34-2017, additional appropriation ordinance edit for 16th State Street stoplight is the amount of $23,088.
Motion to pass on first reading, ordinance 34-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to read and approve ordinance 34-2017.
Ordinance 34-2017, additional appropriation ordinance, section 1 and 2, $23,088.
Discussion. If you remember, this was the, we made this request several months ago. It took this long to get that equipment in and get it installed. That's why it's just not coming back here.
I was going to ask Chief if we have any comments about whether it's good or bad, people like it back in or not. Have you heard any comments about that?
Say that again.
Have you heard any comments about whether people like the light back there or not?
Sixth and State.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Positive.
I haven't heard anybody say anything negative. Good. I have had a few people say to the positive, and I think it was pretty much 50-50 before, too. Maybe a few more saying they really needed it back. So.
Good. Thank you.
But it is working properly now to where it's only
red
on 6th Street when there's people waiting. So
right.
I think it works well.
It has the mechanism in place to change the lights so that people aren't stuck
right
there.
And part of the problem there was it was an outdated control box. Now that the new control box is in place and the sensors are in place on State Street, you're right. It usually stays green 4-6 unless there's a call for it on State.
For the record, I have also received nothing but positive comments on that also.
As I have also.
Good. I also have too.
Great.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Anybody else?
Okay. Question?
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Dan Ravelin?
Yes.
Yes.
Salter?
Yes.
Rose?
Yes.
Yes.
First reading of ordinance 34-2017 is approved by a vote of 7-0. Next is claims.
I'd like to make a change on the claims. Brett Bobe, distribution amount of $4,300.99, also 6188. It's on page 4 of the docket.
Office connection.
Right, for office connection.
And we're on paper at both instead. Okay, so make a motion to
making a motion to approve the claims with this amendment or
correction. Second.
Motion by President Brown, Senator Westfall, to pay the claims in amount of $423,640.67 with the correction that he mentioned. Any other questions?
Question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Dan Ravelin?
Yes.
Frank Patton?
Yes.
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 Okay, and the claims are paid by vote of 7-0. Anything under miscellaneous? If not, we need a motion to adjourn. We are adjourned.